to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. I was thinking about giving the audience a treat to just page one of the Denver Post, their local section. Section B, Denver in the West. Page one, we've got the couple in Colorado that were murdered by a teenager just for kicks. And then we got the guy who escaped from jail, who his brother had to watch him in court occasionally laughing, this murderer who's now free, and he's escaped from jail. That's one problem when you don't execute murderers. They kill people in jail. They could escape, as this guy has. What else do we have? We have this page one. We have a seven-year-old son accidentally shot his three-year-old brother in the head. That's, of course, a terrible tragedy. So that's on page one of Denver in the West from the Denver Post. Then we've got, this is not a local story, but kindergarten kids are in a sex act in class. Kindergarten kids. That is so despicable, and it's so sick. I don't even want to do the story. In fact, I'm not going to do the story. Kindergarten kids in a sex act in class. The teacher did a report on it and just left and hasn't been back to the school. That's a symptom of our Mike Rosen sexually overcharged society. That's what that is. That's that kind of behavior. Kids raping other kids, younger and younger kids having sex. That's a symptom of our KOA Mike Rosen sexually overcharged society. Because the more you have mainstream people saying pornography is okay, cable porn is okay, movies, magazine, pornography, the more you've got Bob Peters at Morality and Media saying pornography should be legal. Yeah, Morality and Media, that group, they defend Hugh Hefner's right to produce pornography. The more you have that, the more you'll have symptoms like this. Kids being hurt sexually. It's just so discouraging. We'll go to the phones here in 1 minute. 1-800-836-9278. I was reading a book today called Liberalism is a Sin. This book was written in 1886 by a Spanish priest, Father Felix Sara y Salvani. And Father Felix, let's see, he wrote this and it reminded me of our caller last night, Rachel. Where was Rachel from? Florida, Indianapolis, I think. She was furious with me. And this one line reminded me of Rachel. This Father Felix in 1886 wrote, "Any chastisement of error shocks their tender susceptibilities. Any chastisement of error shocks them." So we had a guy, Larry, who called in, and he was saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter in war, the Nazis, they could cheer when Nazis killed Brits or the French because, hey, it was their country. So they could cheer that, and that was okay." And I told Larry that what he was saying was evil, and it was foolish. He was a fool for saying it's okay to cheer the murderer's side. And so this Rachel, who's acted like a Christian, she was furious, not with Larry for saying it's okay to cheer for the murderer's side, it's okay to cheer for the Nazis. She was furious at me for chastising Larry, for telling him he was a fool for believing that. That's the state of Christianity today. Let's go to the phones. In Littleton, Colorado, Danielle, speak your mind.
Hi, I wanted to call and let you guys know that, there's a lot going on in the school system today.
Yeah.
You were talking about how those kids in kindergarten,
Kindergarten.
That is still actually almost shocking.
That's I like how you put that, Danielle. Still, it's even almost shocking still because it's so young.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're used to hearing high school, we're used to hearing middle school, but we're not used to hearing kindergarten.
Right.
I mean, that's as young as they can get, just about.
Yeah, what a tragedy.
Yeah.
So what's up, Danielle?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that is going on in the school system that people just don't really seem to, either they close a blind eye to it or, you know, and it is starting younger and younger.
Now, my call screener here has a note for me, and I didn't know if you intended this to be said on the air or not, but it says that you worked for about 4 years in one of the best public school districts in the Denver area.
Yes, I did work for the Cherry Creek Schools.
Cherry Creek Schools for about 4 years. What grade level were you working in?
Actually, I worked with the disabled children, kids that were physically handicapped, disability behavior disabilities, kids that were basically labeled by the school system.
Was that like middle school level or what level?
Actually, it was 9th grade through 12th grade through the main school year, and then summer school was the 6th grade through 8th grade.
So high school. And what did, tell us, you had an inside view, so tell us, what's going on in the Cherry Creek High School?
There's a lot of stuff going on in the schools. I actually personally witnessed many kids not only get into fights, but bring guns. There was a kid that brought a gun to class to let his teacher know that he wanted a higher grade. I couldn't understand why there was anything wrong with that.
Oh, brother. Now, this which high school? Because there's a couple in the Cherry Creek School District.
I worked at Smoky Hill High School.
Smoky Hill. We've talked about Smoky Hill in the past. And for people who don't live in Colorado, they might not know that in the Denver area, when you're talking about public schools, if you say the Cherry Creek School District, a hush comes over the crowd because that is the best.
Yeah, they're considered one of the best public school systems in the state of Colorado.
So
even today, the kids that have graduated that are now adults come back and they treat these almost like they're kind of alma mater college type things.
Right, right. So some kids have brought guns to school. That, of course, is nowadays that's despicable because they have criminal intent when they do that. Anything else?
We've had lots of stuff. There was a kid that brought a box to school the size of a boot box.
Yeah.
Carried it around school and kept dropping notes around different offices. And what those notes turned out to be were bomb threats.
Oh, no.
But none of the staff was notified of this. Just different key people high up.
So while it was going on, the staff wasn't notified?
The staff were not notified to keep an eye out for those kids, so they're not...
Okay, we'll be right back with this story. Listener-supported radio, that's what you've got right here with Bob and Yurt Live. And we have... Now, we're coming down to the wire here with our goal to stay on the air in Denver. And we calculated the monthly shortfall, and in order to stay on the air into the next year, we need 20 people to make a pledge of $100 a month. And I wish I could give you a bigger number, but we of the 20 people we need, we have five, and we're running out of time. We need to. Our contract calls for a 30-day notice of cancellation, and of course we want to stay on the air. Now we're up against the Thanksgiving weekend when we're going to have a couple reruns of some of the best debates we've had recently on the show over the next few nights. But boy, we need your help. If you'd like Bob and Yurt Live to stay on the air, please give us a call, 1-800-8-N-YURT. During the show, after the show, leave your name and phone number. Call us right before, after, during the day, whenever. We need to talk to you if you'd like to help out. If $100 a month is too much or too little, please let us know, and we will process your pledge. Let's say you authorize Bob and Yurt Live to charge your credit card once a month. We do that on the 6th of each month if we're on the air in Denver that month. And Denver is our flagship station, a 50,000-watt KLT 670 AM. What a powerful station. And we need your help if we're going to hang in there. So if you're interested, please give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. For those listening on the internet, hey, I want to tell you a little bit more about that. We got a call today from two families that live up in northern Colorado. And they said, Bob, we're thinking of pledging, so you'll have 6 and 7. And these two families, they both volunteer for Bob and Yart Live. They do work for us. And I know both families, and you've got a young family, you know, babies and struggling financially, making ends meet, but into a house with a couple babies. And, you know, a lot of people struggle these days. And these are families that work for us, and we wish we could pay them. And they're thinking about, they're trying to figure out if they could squeeze $100 a month out to support us. Boy, we really need help. We need help. I want to thank those families for wanting to. All right, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-836-9278. We've got one line open. After Danielle, we'll be going to Las Vegas. But let's see. Hey, Danielle? So while the kid was dropping these bomb threats, you mean the school wasn't cleared out and the teachers weren't notified?
No. They brought in police. There was police presence. Mm. But they were not at liberty to say why they were there. Mm. And then they brought in dogs.
Like
the school
bombs, You mean like bomb-sniffing dogs?
I looked at them and thought, well, you know, maybe they were sniffing for drugs or something like that.
Yeah.
I had no idea that, you know, if a kid was dropping a note and carrying a box around, because they do have surveillance cameras. Hmm. So that's how they were able to later identify who this kid was.
Oh.
But they did not care enough about the kids to clear the school.
All right.
To tell the parents, nothing.
So guns, bomb threat, anything else at Cherry Creek High School, Smoky Hill High?
Well, they promote kids to determine in high school whether they are heterosexual or homosexual.
Oh,
they have a group that's actually sponsored by one of the staff members, so one of the faculties, and one of the teachers. And it's a group of kids that get together to discuss, you know, the alliances and, you know, just all their different problems that they're having because they've decided at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old that they're gay, lesbian, that they want to, that they're a male and want to dress like a female, or they're a female and they want to dress like a male.
Well, the school wouldn't allow that, right?
Oh, no, it is allowed on school premises and it is actually condoned.
So for the boys to dress like, say, wear a skirt is condoned by the Cherry Creek School District?
Yes.
How's that one? Okay, all right. Well, this is an education we're getting from a public school. Now, you're not with the school system any longer.
No, I'm not.
Is that right?
I finally had enough.
You had worked there about 4 years. Anything else? I'm sort of trying to pick your brain here and find out what. So those of us who are not in the school system with our kids to see if we're making the right decision. Anything else?
Well, you know, it's just kind of blatant sexuality in the halls. There were kids that have actually been caught having sex in the halls, in the gyms, when gym class wasn't taking place. There are kids, there are young girls that are being sexually harassed in the hallways.
So
there are young girls that you will see laying on top of boys with their bottoms hanging out.
Oh, brother.
You know, just...
You mean like in the hallways or in a room that's not being used at the time?
Both.
And in the hallways, I guess the hallways are... You mean even if people are walking by?
Yes, some of the kids just could care less.
Couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the culture that the public school system has, that they have brought about. A total lack of ultimate morality, respect for God, extreme not only tolerance but condoning sex between children. They're pretty much child sex advocates. That's what they are.
Yeah, and they actually even go as far as they try to push as anything that has to do with God, even saying things like God bless you or Merry Christmas are looked bad upon. You know, I was actually personally told that we don't wish someone a Merry Christmas, we wish them a Happy Holidays, because there has to be a separation between church and state.
Yeah, I bet you they have no problem with other religions, like even Islam or Native American religions. I have no doubt that's a Christian-only thing.
Yes, I mean, I, on several occasions, did witness other speakers from outside the school, not faculty, not staff, not even students, but other people coming in and teaching those religions. Teaching about them and what they had to say.
We've heard reports like this from all over the country, specific examples, even classes where they'll teach kids to, you know, meditate in a Eastern mystical way or pray toward Mecca for Islamic awareness. And so that, yeah, that seems typical. So there's this extreme bias against Christianity in the Cherry Creek school system. Pretty much everywhere in the country. All right, anything else, Danielle? This is an education.
Well, their bias against that was so extreme to the point. In working with the kids that had some disabilities, we had some very high-functioning kids, and we would take them out into the community. Well, we found a church that was willing to let us bring the kids in to do things, to fold papers, to stamp music and things like that.
Oh, so you mean these were like severely disabled kids, like what, Down syndrome or?
Yeah, Down syndrome, mental retardation, cerebral palsy.
Okay, and so some of those kids who could do work, places in the community would say, come on by and help us do some work. And
yeah,
so,
would have a better chance of actually getting an being employed later on.
In the future.
Once
okay.
they got out of school.
All right.
And so, had one such place set up in a church.
Yeah.
And we brought the one boy in, and, you know, he, I guess, apparently goes to church on his own and knew what to do there. Because we walked him in, and the first thing he did is he walked right up to the altar, knelt down, and started praying.
Hey, isn't that neat?
I mean, it really is. I mean, he's a kid that couldn't read a book. He can't count from 1 to 10.
Right, but he wanted
knew who God was.
But he wanted to honor God and pray to God. That's pretty neat.
And
it wasn't led by any school official. It was just an individual student praying to God.
Yeah, he's seen the opportunity and he took it. It wasn't something that he didn't wait for a yes or a no. He went up and he said, "This is what you do in church." And you know, he was up there praying. That happened to be a situation where we were. The assistant principal and principal will go out and follow different programs to see how they're running. And that happened to be a day when the assistant principal came down. Oh. And she's seen that, and she said that is very inappropriate and wanted us to stop him from doing that.
What?
Yes.
Now, that's another thing that's almost shocking, but not quite. What an intolerant witch. That's the assistant principal at Smoky Hill?
Mm-hmm.
What is she smoking to think that a kid, a Down syndrome kid, can't pray to God? What kind of hatred does that witch have for Jesus Christ? Man.
Pretty strong one.
Man. All right. Hey, Danielle, you have given an education to our audience. And I appreciate it. Is there anything else? I probably should get to some of these callers here. But this is fascinating.
I'll go ahead and let you get to your callers. I just want to say to every person out there that has their kids in private school and is homeschooling them, it may be tough, but keep with it because it's the right thing to do. The public school system will kill your children faster than it will teach them anything.
Wow. Thank you, Danielle.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good night.
Okay, you too. God bless you. I like that, y'all. Now, that was from Littleton, Colorado, but Danielle must be from the South, y'all. What's the plural of y'all? All y'all. All y'all have a good time now, you hear? All right, in Loveland, Colorado, Michelle. Oh, I'm supposed to go to Las Vegas. Okay, next. Right now, Loveland, Colorado. Is this Michael or Michelle?
Oh, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead, Michelle.
Sorry, my phone has a buzz in it.
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and that my husband and I would like to sponsor your show.
You would?
Yeah, we'd like to send each $100.
Each?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I went to public school. Help me. What does that mean per month?
Well, that would be 200.
200?
I can't believe I could add that.
Michelle, you went to public school too, huh? Michelle, you're serious? Oh, I'm just blown away. Will you tell your husband I said thank you very, very much? That means we have 7 of the 20.
Good.
7 of the 20. We need 13 more people. Oish. This is a lot of money per month to stay on our flagship station in Denver, KLT.
Yeah.
And so now the way we plan on doing this is on the 6th of every month to process the credit cards for anyone who's authorized us to do so. And if we're staying on the air that month, we'll process the credit card. So December 6th, then, Michelle, we would process your cards. And then January 6th, it depends if we're still on the air.
Okay.
All right? Could I put you on hold and have our call screener get your information?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. We're both in law enforcement and encourage any other law enforcement officers out there to lend their support to your show because your show is the only one out there worth listening to.
Oh, Michelle, well, I don't know about that. That's a strong statement. But, you know, it's so neat that we have so many people in law enforcement from around the country who are supporters of Bob and Yurt Live and take the Bible as a criminal justice textbook. And they take that message in their work and their ministry and their family and church. So thank you, Michelle.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. All right. I put Michelle on hold. Please ask the call screener to get her all their vital information. And let's go to Las Vegas. Mike, speak your mind.
Yeah, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, yeah, that was good news. I heard that call. That's great news. I hope you guys stay on in Denver.
Isn't that neat? I hope so. This is our most powerful station, biggest city. Flagship station.
That would be great if you guys can do it.
Yeah, and I pastor Denver Bible Church. It would be such a shame to go off the air in Denver.
Yeah, you know, I get you on the net, so.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. Listen, I was calling in about the John Lofton show.
Yeah, John Lofton, who was Pat Buchanan's, one of his presidential advisors for his campaign.
I really liked that show.
Yeah. Well,
I thought
tell
it was a really good dialogue between you, and I took his offer to write him an email.
Oh,
and I got a response from him, and I've sent off another response, and I'm hoping that I'll keep the dialogue going.
All right. Now, I want to hear about what's going on, what he's saying, what you're saying, but let's tell the audience, John Lofton is a strong Christian conservative, but he's got these unusual views about warfare and about defending your neighbor, and he seems to think that if America is not attacked directly— that it would be wrong for us to come to an aid of a neighboring nation that's under attack.
Right.
And that's, you know, Jesus said you love your neighbor, and who is your neighbor?
Right.
Well, whoever's in need, if you have the ability, certainly you have the right to help your neighbor. If, for example, if Kuwaitis are being murdered by Saddam Hussein, then we have the right to go and help Kuwait. And if it's in our national interest, and if it's right and we have the ability to do so, then we can help them.
Right. Now, where I started the dialogue was with the his idea that these people should have a trial, the terrorists and stuff. And one of the things he's a big supporter of is the jury system.
Oh, no, come on.
And I don't believe the jury system is really a biblical concept.
No, not at all. Justice by committee.
Right.
Now, committees can ruin almost anything.
Right.
A committee can ruin, you know, the Vietnam War was a war by committee.
Right.
The Persian Gulf War was not. We'll be right back. Hey, Bob Enyart here with listener-supported radio. Listener-supported radio, and that means you, if you being one of the listeners, if you appreciate this show, Bob and Yurt Live, well, then I'd like to encourage you to call us at 1-800-836-9278, or you could go to our store on the web, go to kgov.com, and up on the upper right, click on, what does it say, Bob's Materials? Bob's Materials on the upper right of the homepage. And you can see a list of many of our videos, audio tapes, literature. We'll be adding to that list. In fact, we'll be improving the quality of the information that's up there. You'll get more information about each of these different items. But for example, if you're interested in about creation, science is something of interest to you. Well, we have an album called Genesis Creation, and it is fun. Genesis Creation. We have a video, that's an audio tape album. We have a videotape called Confronting an Atheist, about a one-hour debate with an atheist on the scientific evidence for the existence of God. And the evidence is overwhelming. It's persuasive that God does exist. In fact, in that video, there's a skit in there, a skit about a science teacher who's on Judgment Day. He stands before God, and God is mad at him. So that's fun. That's a fun video. And then we have Genesis, the Flood, all the evidence for the flood. If you give us a call at 800-8-NYART and say, well, I'm interested in whatever the topic is, say predestination and free will. Oh, boy, do we have fun material on that topic. Now, we have the plot manuscript, which is an overview of the whole Bible, but there's a sequel to the plot, and only the first two chapters are done. It's called The Script, and The Script is really fun. You want to talk about a fun read. The first two chapters of The Script are available, and it has to do with the subject of predestination and free will, and we have an audio album on that topic called Predestination and Free Will, a seminar that we've taped, audio tapes, six tapes. And then we have a video debate. Bob debates predestination. It was a moderated debate. A pastor author flew into Lansing, Michigan. I flew in, and it was moderated by a local TV talk show host, John Mangopoulos. So call us and enjoy some of these things. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm going back to Las Vegas and back to Mike. So, Mike, John Lofton is a big supporter of the jury system, but he doesn't have a lot of Bible verses to back that up either.
Yeah, you know, I brought that up, and I asked him, you know, if he thought it was a biblical type of system, and he's avoided it twice now. But I really put it to him, and I said, look at, you know, what do you think?
Hey,
about
hold
the
on, hold on, Mike. I'm sorry to do this to you. Line two, you're on the air.
Kenneth Scott.
Yes. An inmate at the Arapahoe County Detention Facility, Centennial, Colorado.
This call is from a correctional institution and is subject to monitoring and recording.
A jail.
Custom calling features are not allowed during this conversation.
Okay.
The cost for this call is $2.46. If you do not wish to accept this call, please hang up now. To accept the call, press 0. Thank you for using
Quest.
Go ahead with your call.
Ken,
hello there.
Ken Scott.
How are you?
Ken, you're in jail, the Arapahoe County Jail, for protesting against an abortionist. And what an honor to have you call. We just put a call from Las Vegas on hold to take your call. Ken, thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me, Bob, and God bless you, too, for getting all the information out about the abortionist at Planned Parenthood.
Yes, Planned Parenthood in Denver has an abortionist, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin, and we have had a holiday abortionist home visit where every major holiday we've gone to his house to protest for about 10 years, and you were arrested on a few occasions for reading, what was it, Psalm 92 or 94?
Psalms 94, and then trying to witness to all the counter-protesters. It's unusual to have counter-protesters show up at
in a neighborhood
abortionist house because it's been so effective for having that protest there so long, Bob.
Yeah, but there were a lot of pro-abortion counter-protesters, like you're saying. There were feminists, there were homosexuals there, and a United Methodist minister was there protesting on the side of the abortionist. So at any rate, you were charged with basically disturbing the peace and on three occasions. And now, to sum it all up, you're doing about 3.5 months in jail.
Well, on this particular one, I lost my appeal. I went all the way to the Supreme Court using all the type of case law from the 1960s, along with I use God's law, and also try to warn the judges they're going to face a higher court with a judge that wears a white robe.
Amen.
Won't be home detention or like a 3-month sentence or
yeah, that's right.
When, or appeal department.
When they stand before Jesus Christ and they have to try to offer a defense for why they protected child killers, they're not going to have a persuasive defense. And so Ken, so you were the judge basically threw the book at you.
Yes, and, he was pretty upset. And
yeah.
At this point, the only thing is the ministry was to witness to the judge and witness to the judge in the district court and witness to all the Supreme Court judges so that they've all saw the same message and were witness that God's law is thou shalt not murder and abortion's murder, Bob.
Abortion is murder. And now, Ken, now that you are in jail, you know, I pastor a small church here in the Denver area, Denver Bible Church. You and your wife, Joe Scott, attend occasionally. You guys visit our Sunday night Bible studies. And so we've announced at our church that while you're in jail, we're going to the abortionist home every Saturday. So the last two Saturdays in a row since you've been in jail, we've had 20, 21 people out between 2 to 4 police cars. And we're going to continue that every Saturday, 10:30 in the morning. We meet at a local Winchell's Donuts. And so, of course, we want to invite people to come out this coming Saturday, too. But, hey, Ken, in 2 days, it's Thanksgiving.
Yes, Bob.
Thanksgiving is a major holiday.
So it's another picket.
An abortionist holiday home visit. We will go. And the goal, what's the goal of going? Ken, do you think there's a big chance the abortionist will become a Christian?
Well, I think he's pretty well hardened his heart, but you can still hope and pray something will happen. Maybe something will humble him.
Right. When there's life, there's hope. But we don't. That's not our main goal of not even getting him to stop or getting him saved. Our main goal is that the thousands of medical students all over the country would be discouraged from becoming child killers because they don't want on Thanksgiving to have at 9 o'clock in the morning, they don't want to have wacko Christian pro-life protesters in front of their home. And so they'd rather become podiatrists and dermatologists than abortionists.
And praise the Lord for that, Bob.
Yeah, and
also,
you know what?
I'd look at Ephesians 5:11, which says, have no fellowship with the evil works of darkness, but rather expose them. And I think that's what we've been doing, Bob.
Expose them.
You've been doing a good job at that, and I did get a letter from your mom telling about the protest, and I did have a visit from Jason Troyer.
Oh, great.
That told me about all the people that were there on both Saturdays as well.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, your wife, I've heard through the grapevine. In fact, we're going to try to have her on Monday or Tuesday night. Well, but along with one or two people from Colorado Right to Life, they're going to try to get a daily protest during the week at the abortionist house going.
Well, that's what I've heard from my wife, too. She was out of town for a wedding that was planned 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And she'll be back on Thanksgiving.
And so we, of course, will promote that also, Ken, so that while you're in jail, we're going to try to do your work that you would be doing if you were not in jail.
Well, praise the Lord. Maybe it'll shake up the neighbors to see so many people there all the time, too, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. And, hey, we want to stand with you shoulder to shoulder, Ken. That's a tall order to do that. You're one of my heroes.
Well, may God get the glory, and may it help some people stop to think about being part of abortion.
Oh. Well, thank you. Would you do me a favor and call in? And the next time you call in, we'll talk a little bit also about what it's like to be in jail.
Okay, that sounds very good. I mean, it's once you're there, it's, after you get through the fear, it's not so bad because there's lots of dominoes, lots of chess, lots of spades. But the big thing is it's a missionary work. I get to talk to a lot of people about being here and witnessing.
And Ken Scott, you're one of the best chess players I know.
Well, it gets me sharpened up here, but at the same time,
jail is the place to hone your chess skills.
Yes, but it also, you can get Bible studies going.
That's right.
And it's good to tell the people about the Lord. They get humbled when they come to jail, and they're more, you know, open to hear the gospel.
Yeah, they are open. And you know who gets the most messed up in jail? Jail is the worst for the guards.
Yes.
The guards have a life sentence for the most part. The average inmate in a county jail is in and out in a month or so on average. The guards have, some of them, five-year sentences, 20-year sentences. They become vulgar. They get divorced. It ruins their life because jail is just basically, it's an unbiblical idea, and it's a bad idea.
It's very unfortunate. Some of these guards that come here that are Christians after they've been here for a while, and I know of one that I witnessed to, Deputy Hansen, and his dad's a pastor and everything else, and now he's become so hardened. He thinks abortion's okay because there wouldn't be so many people in jail. And that's going from the wrong,
yeah, right,
being a Christian, and turning away from what the God shows
to
be true.
Of course. Of course. If we get young women to kill their babies, we'll have fewer criminals?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. When you legalize child murder, your crime rate in the country goes up.
They just not
don't
down. Understand the truth of the Bible, Bob.
And the consequences. Thank you so much, Ken Scott.
Okay.
Please
God bless you. And
please call us next week, Ken.
Okay. Have a nice day.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Wasn't that neat to get a call from inside the county jail here in the Denver metro area? Now let's go back to Las Vegas. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, that was a great call.
The court system put Ken Scott in jail, and they're protecting the abortionist.
Yeah, what an upside-down world, huh?
How is that? We have a functioning criminal justice system in America, or what? And the caller,
I think it's definitely a big mess.
And the caller,
I want to try to make it out there for one of the protests.
You are?
I'm going to sure try. How long is he going to be in?
He'll be in for about 3 more months, most likely.
I got a few weeks, but I'm going to try to get up there and join you guys.
Mike from Las Vegas coming to a Ken Scott abortionist home visit protest?
Well, I encourage everybody to come at least once.
Hey, we're encouraging the people listening in Springfield, Massachusetts to come on.
I think
on
they
out.
Should come.
Yeah.
I've already looked at the flights. They're not that expensive.
The flights are not bad.
No.
And, hey, what a time to ski.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
maybe
my son,
a couple more days.
My son Nathaniel, he's our engineer for the show. Nathaniel, when's the last time you went skiing? A year ago? Saturday.
Oh, okay.
How was the snow? Great. How was the weather? Great.
Now, he's a young guy. Is he snowboard or
he's
ski?
He snowboards.
Snowboard.
Everybody under 40 snowboards.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to snowboard, and I'm way over 40.
Okay.
I mean, but listen, I was talking to John.
John Lofton.
Again, and the juries came up. Another thing that came up in our little debate, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this, and this is really the reason I called. Now, take a person who commands the hitting or the execution or whatever you want to call it of a terrorist.
Yeah.
Now, that guy had some evidence. Obviously, he didn't choose this guy arbitrarily.
Well, like you mean like in Yemen when we sent a Predator drone,
right,
fired a Hellfire missile into a van and blew up 6 Al-Qaeda members.
Now, that was somebody somewhere's decision.
Right. The government said, we're at war with terrorists. They're trying to kill us. We're trying to kill them. And here are 6 of them. Let's kill them now while they're in our sights.
But even less than the government, it was a commander somewhere. And he looked at the evidence, and he decided they're guilty.
Well, I'm somewhat familiar with some of the details in that story. Actually, this Al-Qaeda operative in Yemen, we had been trying to get him for months, and we sent... Hold on. Wait till right after this, Mike.
Okay.
Now, we'll give the people in the listening over the internet a heads up on this. I just invited someone in the studio audience, just invited one of our studio audience members into the studio. And Dave, when we get back on the show, this is a commercial break, but I'm not going to give your last name. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine.
And I want to tell people a little bit about who you are and your background. And I'm so thrilled that you... You say such wonderful, kind things about the plot.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Bob, it's just a pleasure to meet you in person. I've heard your tapes, many of those that came with the plot series, and now to see you in person and meet your family.
Could we go to Starbucks after the show?
Absolutely.
All right. That way we'll get to talk a little bit. Great. But now save this for when we get on the air, because this is a commercial break that airs only on the internet now. All right. So all those nice things that you just said that I paid you to say, say them when we get back on the air.
You got it.
All right? So we'll start in just 1 minute.
Okay.
So thank you, Dave. And for those of you tuning in on the web, Dave was in the studio audience, and I got so excited when I just heard his story. I said, hey, Dave, come on the show and help me out here. And he said, okay, I will. So here he is. So we'll do that. Now, when we get back, we're going to finish up with Mike from Las Vegas. And then go to Dave. That's the plan, right? Yeah. Okay. So, hey, if you're listening on the web, you know that you can order our materials. In fact, you can order the plot right on the web at kgov.com. Just click on Bob's Materials. And you could get videotapes, audio tapes, albums, sermons, Bible studies. The Best of Bob mailed every month the best 8 radio shows of the month. Mailed each month, 4 in the middle of the month, 4 at the end of the month. So give us a call, even 1-800-8-N-YARD. All right, we're back. Bob and Yurt live. Now we're with Mike in Las Vegas. And hey, Mike, after you, we had some tough acts to follow in the calls before you.
Yeah, no kidding.
And after you, there was a guy in the studio audience. He's going to join me in the studio as soon as we're done. And he's a navigator with the Air Force. He's got quite a background with Bible, studying the Bible, and he wants to talk to the audience about our Bible studies. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just ask you this question and see if I'm wrong about this or see if this is biblical.
Yeah.
Is the notion of having a judge and trying somebody in absentia, is that a biblical notion?
Well, the Bible doesn't. Let's say you have a murderer, and you can't get him. He's eluding you. The Bible does not say that you can't look at the evidence. A judge cannot convict him. You can't use lethal force to try to apprehend him. In the case in Yemen, we knew this guy was a major al-Qaeda operative, and we told the Yemeni government, hey, here he is. You know where he is. Go and get him. And so whether he's the president or the leader of Yemen sent his son, who was in the military, along with quite a number of armed officers to arrest this guy, and there was a firefight, and 22 Yemeni soldiers were killed.
Wow.
That was some months ago. And the al-Qaeda guys outgunned him and got away. Wow. So we'd been watching this guy, and we just wanted to get it just when we had a clear shot. We wouldn't kill any civilians, and we took him out.
Sounds good to me.
It's just a great thing that our government did, and I'm not always a fan of everything our government does.
Nor am I. Especially when they put Ken Scott in jail.
Yeah, you're right. But that was great. Hey, Mike from Las Vegas, thank you for
calling.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call. And another problem with a jury, you know, government, if you're going to buy a toilet seat, there's an accountability chain a mile long in the government. But if you're going to handle criminal justice, like decide whether somebody's a murderer or not, we use an anonymous jury that disbands as soon as it's done, and there's no accountability. So the people who let a rapist murderer go free, if he rapes again the next day, there's no accountability. That's the kind of system we've devised. That's not the system God said in the Bible, but that's what we have right now. So Christians should be more interested in the way God says to do it than the way we just happen to do it. All right. During the break, I got to chat with one of our studio audience members, and don't want to use your last name, but Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. It's an honor, in fact. You know, we had law enforcement, a gal call in tonight. She said her and her husband work in law enforcement. And well, you're in the Navy, right?
No, I'm in the Air Force.
Bob. Oh, you're in the
first of
the
all.
Air Force.
Let me say the honor's mine. I've read your plot series and I've heard your tapes over the tree and several other things surrounding the plot, the Bible overview.
Yeah, the Bible overview studies we do.
Right, just fabulous. So and it's great to meet you and your family in person.
That's
really glad to be.
That's
here.
So kind of you to say that, Dave. Now we paid you to say this.
Paid announcement.
But I wanted to thank you, and you beat me to the thanks part, but for being in the military, and especially, you know, these past couple of years, we've lived in a very tense time. And thank you for your service to the country, helping to keep my family safe.
I appreciate that. I flew up Saturday to have about 40 of our folks reenlist at the Air Force Academy.
Really?
We did that at halftime. And then I attended a luncheon yesterday where I was able to address a bunch of retirees and just thank them for their service and for what I did before I came here. I just returned from Europe where I ran USAFE's crisis team, our responses to contingencies. And so I was there for Allied Force, our African responses, the USS Cole response where we airlifted them out. And then, of course, 9/11, we were all over that. So we are out there. And the Americans, we know, and we are very proud to wear the uniform. Mm-hmm. And we know that we are the light of the world right now. Mm-hmm. We are.
For all America's faults, there is no nation doing more to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And we are one messed up country, but there are millions still that love Jesus Christ, and even in our broken ways, we're preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible.
Amen. And my majority of your people, I would say, who are in the military that I know, are usually conservative, good people who love people and love God, and they are. They're out there doing it right.
Wow. It tends to be people who believe in right and wrong that gravitate toward law enforcement and toward the military. But since our system is so broken, we promote homosexuality, abortion, then everybody gets confused. Mm. But that's why it's so important that we stand up and state the truth unequivocally. It's wrong to murder. Terrorism is wrong. It's good to punish the wicked.
Absolutely.
How about you? I found out just briefly that we talked that you have studied the Bible for some time.
That's correct. I grew up in a Bible doctrine church here in Denver. It was Holly Hills.
Okay.
And, studying under a great professor, and you know, worship service was more like college school.
That's neat.
But and then I had opportunity to further my education in the Air Force, and received a master's in divinity.
From where?
From Liberty.
Liberty College.
Yeah.
Liberty University.
Liberty University in Virginia.
Jerry Falwell.
Yes. And outstanding school.
Yeah.
Fabulous time.
So you've had a lot of Bible study in your life.
That's correct. Yeah. We lead a department right now. I'm stationed in Oklahoma where we lead a department, Sunday school.
Ah.
And we've carried that ministry and had a great time, and God's just blessed us tremendously.
Praise the Lord. So is it like a Bible study, the Sunday school?
It's more Southern Baptist. It's a Southern Baptist church there, and they have their quarterly system. But I'm here now to get more materials from you. So that I can lead a home Bible study, because I don't feel that we do an adequate job right now in presenting a good overview of the Bible. And if I could liken it to this, when I've read the plot series and the overview, we had a Gideon's guy come to our church and give a plot or a hit for the Gideons, you know, to donate because of the great job they do. But I likened it to that of a guy who's in the hotel, opens the Bible, and needs help. Where in the world would you turn? I mean, which book? I would be scared to death. Mm. Which book would I read first? Because if you've read the Bible, you know there's a lot of different times and periods and histories and messages that you find in the Gospels.
Right, and it could be bewildering.
It could be.
That's why God gave teachers.
Right. So I liken it, for me, having done the overview, it's just awesome. It's awesome to grasp the overview and the plot, as you say, and understand the plot twists that take place
in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Because did it seem to you as you grew in your Christianity and your Bible study that there were a lot of verses that seemed to contradict?
Absolutely.
That's sort of like the dark secret of Christianity. Yeah. There are hundreds of verses that seem to contradict,
sure.
And we all deal with them in ad hoc and sort of bizarre ways.
And the pastor teachers that I've usually approached as I did study and got older, you know, went through apologetics. I've done a lot of other things where it's analytical study. You know, you don't have to assassinate your brain to be a Christian. Mm. And that's what I love about your series is it speaks to wisdom. And after you study it, and if you know anything about Bible, after you read it, you know it's correct because it fits. It's the puzzle piece that's missing.
Because these hundreds of verses that seem to contradict, the reason we struggle with them is because we don't have a solid grasp of the whole story. So many Christians, they start to sweat a little if you put them on the spot and say, what's the plot of the Bible? And you ask them some basic storyline questions. How does the whole story fit together? They don't know.
Yeah.
It's a big area of shadowy confusion for most Christians. It seems like 99%. They might become experts on some subtopic, like let's say the end times prophecies. Mm-hmm. They might be experts and could quote 100 of those, but they don't know the overview of the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a solid foundation on which to be an expert.
And that's sad because to witness and to be a powerful instrument for Christ, I think you need to know your background. You need to know where you stand in the Bible, you know, what message.
Yeah. And what if, you know, somebody, you're a Christian, you study the Bible for a few years, and an unbeliever reads you a verse and says, look at this ridiculous statement in here. And in my experience, most Christians can't defend statements because they themselves don't understand it. And the Bible's such a big book that if you don't start with an overview, you're just never going to get it.
Absolutely.
So that's been the focus of this ministry for all these years we've been on the air, teaching people an overview of the Bible, then become an expert on the details.
Well, plug here is, you know, I've grown up in the Bible. I went to a good hardcore doctrine church where they did exegesis and all that. But until I read your plot series, the overview, I'd never understood the Bible to the degree that you presented because you don't get it. You don't get this teaching at every sermon or at many churches. I'd say probably most churches and that most I'd say most pastors don't have a good grasp of the overview of the Bible and the plot twist.
You know, right, exactly. Because stories have a plot. And the Bible's a story and has a plot, and it's got plot twists in it. And if you ignore the plot, then you just never quite get it. But we encourage people to support their local churches and get plugged in because no man is an island. Mm-hmm. You can't really grow on your own. Mm-hmm. And so many people say, oh, but I go to church and they say, don't judge, you have to forgive everyone, all these cliches. And the reason the pastors are repeating the cliches maybe 20 times a month is because of the shallow teaching they got in seminaries. Right. The seminaries are shallow.
Absolutely. I'm here to get a plot or an overview for my pastor.
You are a plot manuscript for your pastor.
I want a plot for my pastor.
Oh, boy.
Because of some of the sermons, I understand he doesn't have a grasp totally on the grace that's available to us today.
But
he's an open-minded person, and he said, and he's got several degrees, so I know he can read, and he's analytical. So I just want to get him something that he probably didn't get in seminary, and that ought to give him a better foundation for his sermons.
Well, Dave, now I did pay you to say all these things. Right?
A coffee.
At Starbucks after the show. And we hadn't planned this for weeks or months. Or I didn't come give you a bullet, say, Dave, will you say this, this, and this? We just met.
That's right. I just called you about 30 minutes before the show and said I'd like to meet you sometime, and I'm interested in acquiring more material. Because I've had difficulty myself, wasn't aware of your websites and so on. But my brother's attended your church, and I got your material through him.
Right. And now we normally don't let every riffraff into the studio that calls. I'm only kidding, of course. But your brother is a dear friend.
That's right.
And so we had a connection, and we thought, hey, let's invite this guy in. He sounds fascinating. And you are fascinating.
I appreciate it.
Dave, thank you for all you do. And hey, let's go to Starbucks now.
God bless.
This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.